So my name's Caitlin Porter. I am with Deloitte Consulting. I am neither in tax nor audit. We got the question a lot at the booth yesterday. Deloitte actually does a lot of work in the healthcare space. The particular area where I've been working is in the federal sector, so I've been at the CDC for the last 6 years. And my areas of focus have been in performance measurement and in grants management, working with some of the CDC's largest and most complex grant programs that I'm sure some of you are all very familiar with and might receive money from some of those programs. So I'm here to talk a little bit about managing grants to demonstrate impact or demonstrate performance and achieve impact. I have no relationships to disclose. So a few things I want to do here today. So the first thing I want to talk about is just give you an environmental scan, some context in terms of what are some of the legislative drivers that are, you know, calling for the need to demonstrate more accountability, more transparency in federal grants, and then talk a little bit about some of the 6 principles that we use in our work to help our clients demonstrate results and impact using performance data. And then the last one I want to talk about is exploring some of the low-cost, flexible tools that we've been using in some of the CDC's programs that enable the program to track, report, analyze performance data, and use that to make decisions. So to give you some context, so grants are an important way in which we achieve health outcomes in the U.S. So on average, I think in FY13, the U.S. gave out $633 billion in grants. So there is a need to demonstrate more impact with that amount of money. So recently we've seen a lot of legislation come out around this topic. So the GPRA, which is the Government Performance and Reporting Act, is requiring strategic plans, performance plans, goals, and reports from some of these grant programs. We're also seeing a lot of White House memos come out about transparency and accountability and demonstrating that you're achieving the results that you're setting forth within your grants. And I think this is important not just from a federal perspective, but this impacts state level, local level, both on the grantor and grantee side. Okay. So 6 principles. So these are just principles that we found in our work, not just in CDC, but across HHS and in all federal grants. So I'm going to walk through some of these. So the first one here is starting with a clear understanding of what a grant program is trying to achieve and how grantees can make a difference, right? So new grant programs are often designed at a frenetic pace, right? You're often trying to get money out the door before the end of the fiscal year, which is not an ideal way in which you want to shape a grant program. So often we're thinking in hindsight, oh, I wish we would have elected to achieve these outcomes or these activities. But unfortunately, a lot of programs aren't spending a lot of time up front to think through what are some of the outcomes that they want to achieve with the grants, right? So to this end, a lot of agencies have started kind of forcing their grantees when they're doing their application to show what kind of outcomes they want to achieve. So for instance, the CDC requires a logic model. So I mean, I think we're all pretty familiar with what a logic model is, but essentially, what are the short, intermediate, and long-term outcomes that you want to achieve with this grant? So that's something new that CDC has in DOMA started implementing, so that the grantees and the grantors are all on the same page. This is what we want to achieve out of this 5-year grant, right? So, you know, I can't stress this enough because we work with a lot of programs, 5-year programs, that in year 3, they've decided that they weren't collecting the right data or their grant wasn't shaped in the way that is eliciting the outcomes that they want, and they're having to backtrack so that they don't have that baseline data. So spending time up front to think through what are the outcomes that you want to achieve that are evidence-based is huge. The second principle here is drawing on existing evidence to design the program, and through the program seek to deepen knowledge of what works, right? So this is essentially saying designing your programs and figuring out the activities that are evidence-based. The problem with some of that is that sometimes the information is too new, the evidence isn't there yet, right? So I think there's a lot of lessons learned that, though lessons learned can be difficult to identify, there's a lot of repositories that folks can use, just to name a few. There's the Department of Education's What Works Clearinghouse, there's the Washington State Institute of Public Policy, and there's also the Cochrane collaboration. This is a new grant. This is something that you can draw from to figure out, you know, what are the activities that we want our grantees to be doing that might help us achieve those outcomes that we defined in principle number one. So collect the right data from the grantees. Information is genuinely useful to improve outcomes. So programs are very guilty of collecting way too much information that they're never going to use and that are not they're not using to inform decision making, right? I work with one program that has 150 performance measures they're collecting on an annual basis from programs. I mean, they are just never going to be able to track that information in a meaningful way where they're able to alter the course of the grant during it. Maybe 5 years later, they'll be able to aggregate and analyze and evaluate on those performance measures, but it's not helpful in the short term, right? So when you're designing a grant program, thinking through what's the absolute necessary amount of information that I need to have in order to evaluate the program, evaluate the outcomes, and make decisions in a timely way without overburdening the grantees. And the grantees know when they're being overburdened. So fewer specific measures is helpful. You want to think about what can be aggregatable, so what are measures across all grantees, as well as what can be disaggregatable in terms of identifying individually what is the how the grantees marching towards the outcomes they stated in their application. Okay, so principle number four. So this is give grantees the freedom to achieve outcomes, not just comply with grant conditions. So this is not being so overly prescriptive that you can't allow the grantee to figure out what works in their given state or locality, right? It is very difficult, especially if you're having a grant that you're funding all 50 states. We know that California is very different from Missouri, who's very different from Maryland. So by mandating every single activity or every single performance measure, you're not allowing them to figure out what works and scale that within their own municipality or state. So within the grant, there should be kind of a mixed bag of things that are required so you can standardize across and get an understanding of how you're across your portfolio, how you're doing, but allowing some flexibility for your grantee to kind of figure out what works and writing that into their work plans on an annual basis. So principle number five, and this is an important one, is supporting grantees to use data to better understand how capacity makes a difference. So this is building capacity within the state, locality, to use their own data to inform their day-to-day management of the program, right? So a few ways to do this we found have been really helpful programs. One is data transparency, so encouraging a little healthy competition, sharing those performance reports with awardees, especially where you have standardized information across, letting them, hey, Louisiana, you're doing, this is where you are, and then this is where Oregon is, and then allowing them to figure out, you know, why you're here and they're there, right? And so sharing that awardee comparative data can be a little sensitive, but, for things that aren't necessarily PII or things that can help maybe make a difference in terms of how a grantee is addressing a given problem, it's really important. Another one is learning sessions. So we hear a lot about peer-to-peer technical assistance, creating learning communities, web collaboration. I know in chronic disease at CDC, they recently uptake this Project Echo, which is out of New Mexico, and it's a video collaboration tool around case studies so that each of the grantees are talking about one specific case and sharing best practices about that. Performance management experts. So if you have some flexibility in your grant, allowing the grantee to hire someone in-house who can be their evaluator is huge. Rather than relying on the federal agency to do all of their evaluation work, having that in-house and building their evaluation capacity in-house is huge. And then the last one is technical assistance, so investing in building strong performance measure and evaluation capacity in-house. Okay. So the last principle here is around blending pay for success approaches into more conventional grant programs. And I'm sorry in the back if you can't see, this is a very busy slide, but I'll try to work through each of these four models. So in 2013, OMB released new guidance on grant administrative requirements, and they're allowing for a little bit more innovative funding mechanisms than your traditional grant model, right? So these are a few examples of the different types of innovative grant awards that you could be making. The first one is fixed price awards, so that's an agreement to deliver a specified service for a stated purpose at a stated cost. So essentially paying for the outcomes that you want to see from your grantee. So it's going to rely more on performance than compliance, and it's going to ensure accountability from your grantees. The next one is tiered evidence grants. So in this example, you know, we give the three-tiered model. So, you know, maybe at the top tier you have those evidence-based activities that you know that works. You're going to give them the most amount of money. But then there's that second tier that it's promising practices, maybe not evidence-based. You still want to fund them, but maybe not the same dollar amount. So they're going to be at the second tier. And then there's a third one, maybe there's proof of concept. There's not really any evidence out there. Maybe it's never been done. It's still worthwhile for funding, but they're not going to give that same amount of money as the other two, right? So, but you're still going to give evaluation support across the board, so hopefully that you can show and demonstrate that these are impactful activities and they should be funded at the next year or the next grant program. And the third one here is pay for success. So this is something very interesting. So it's where private investors provide the initial capital, the initial startup fund, required for the services that improve social outcomes, and then the government pays once those measurable results are achieved. So this is big in the UK. You might be familiar with social impact bonds. This is an example of a pay for success model. And then the last one here is performance partnerships. We hear from a lot of from states and localities that they'd like more flexibility in pooling some of their discretionary funds across federal programs, especially if you've ever gotten money from CDC. You know, a lot of that money might be siloed, and it makes sense to share across. This fourth one will give you a little bit more flexibility in doing that. So what I want to do is actually talk about a little bit what we're doing at CDC, and it's kind of an example of being able to use performance data to demonstrate impact and make decisions and hold grantees a little bit more accountable. This is a model that we've used in about a dozen different CDC programs, some ranging from like $250 million programs to, you know, $5 million programs. So we found that it kind of works across the board in terms of large and small, complex, not complex programs. So what we found in general across the federal agencies is that not all of them necessarily do a great job of tracking, reporting, analyzing, and using performance data to make decisions. We found that oftentimes that information is just stored in someone's personal My Documents folder, and it's not shared, and it's not shared with leadership, and leadership's not able to use that for timely decision making. So we created a tool, or a suite of tools rather, that uses Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, Microsoft Access, and can be used at a program to track, report, analyze performance data. So you start with collection, right? So you get your work plan and budget data from your grantees using standardized locked templates. So these are sent out to grantees at the beginning of the fiscal year. They tell you, you know, what are their activities, what are their goals, what are the partners they're working with, what are the time frames in which they want to achieve some of these, what are their performance measures. You can standardize some of that information, and they also, it's a locked template, and I'll show you an example of it, but that essentially standardizes the information you're getting from all of your grantees. And then you're going to extract that information using a macro, and we put that in a database that is designed specifically for that program using Access. And then at the same time, in addition to that work plan and budget template, we have entering analysis. This is where project officers, other CDC staff like evaluators can be going in there and entering information about their communication with grantees. So site visit information, monthly calls that they're having with their grantees, any other thing that would be pertinent. They're often rating their grantees on a semi-annual basis, red, yellow, green, see how they're doing towards achieving some of the things that they said they were going to achieve. And then probably the most important part is the visualization, right? So getting this data out of the database in a meaningful way to show, you know, how grantees are progressing towards those outcomes, where there might be some barriers, where there's some successes that we want to report out to Congress and others. And we can do that using dashboards, canned reports, through Access, as well as we started using Tableau a lot, which is a visualization software. And I'll give you an example of that in a bit. So this is an example of a work plan template. This one that we're looking at uses Excel, but you can also use Word, and you can use the very most basic 1997 version of Word to do these lock templates. So anyone can do these using form fields. And so the form's locked, nothing can be changed. You can standardize data through pre-populated drop-downs, which helps grantees being able to compare across grantees. So if you have a standardized list of partners, if you have a standardized list of data sources that you want, you can pre-populate using these tools. And then you can also tailor it, because every program is different for some reason, and all of them have different goals models. So some might call them domains, some call them strategies, some call them interventions. So we can standardize all of these tools using Microsoft Word or Excel. And then what's nice is that the annual progress report time, we can pre-populate the whole thing, and then you just have to write their progress notes next to the activities, which the grantees seem to like. In terms of performance monitoring database, so we're going to use Access, and I'll show you a couple screenshots of some of the database tools that we've developed. But this is going to serve as your central repository for all information related to your grant. So this eliminates having different all their site note or site visit calls on their personal computers. It's all in one central location. So if someone leaves or someone needs leadership needs an immediate report, it's all right there at their disposal. So we work with individual programs, and they kind of elect into whatever module is helpful for them. But the ones that we see most consistently are these four. So communication and technical assistance, and I'll go into that in a little bit more detail in the next slide. Your work plan and budget, so this is the templates that we've dropped in and imported. What project officers can do is update those along the year, because we know that often what you said you're going to do at the beginning of the year is not necessarily what you do in the middle or the end of the year. So they're able to update and change those throughout the year. And then we have evaluation, performance stats, and success stories. So evaluation is your performance measures, any other evaluation tools that you want in there. Performance status, this is the red, yellow, green that's been very helpful to programs, and leadership seem to really like the just getting a sense of who's on track, who's not on track, where are trouble spots geographically, regionally, et cetera. And then success stories, which is a favorite of anyone who's worked with policy or communication folks, is the little nuggets of information where states are doing a really exceptional job, being able to store those and pull those out to maybe inform different communication tools, inform the CDC director if he needs it, for other various reasons that you might need to identify some of the successes of the program. And the last one's grantee profile. So this is anything and everything you'd want to collect about grantees. So, who are they serving under, minority populations? Are they, where are they working? Who's the point of contact? Anything that you maybe want to report on later. This has been really nice for one of our programs. Someone called and they were like, I want all the activities, all your grantees are doing with the Native American population. And historically, that would have taken them probably a week to assemble. And we were able to pull that out within, a minute using some of that information within the grantee profile. So this is an example of a communication log. Just wanted to show you here kind of what it looked like. So this is Access. This is where people are going to be collecting information about their site visits, their routine monthly calls. They're able to store any action items. You can see historically whether they have outstanding action items that haven't been completed or completed action items. You have any announcements, technical assistance. We've developed a MITA module, so when they get a new technical assistance record from a state, they're actually able to assign it to another CDC department. And you can also link to any pertinent documents here. So again, just something that was historically on various Word documents on people's personal computers is all now in one central location in the database, and it's been very helpful for a lot of programs. And then the last one here is reports and data visualization. So as I mentioned before, we kind of do this in two ways. We do it in Access, so that's PDF reports or just exporting it via Excel and allowing the evaluators to do their thing with it. On the right here is an example of a PDF report that we pulled for Alabama around some of their performance measures and activities. We've also started using Tableau a lot. So Tableau is a data visualization software. It's free. You can Google it, a Tableau Reader, and you can download it. The developer license is where it's going to cost you. But for instance, CDC has some of their million hearts data, a lot of other public data that's available on it. And so this is an example of a Tableau map. It's really nice for programs that fund all 50 states, so you can click through and see who's doing what, where their troubles are. You can overlay, burden of disease data. You can overlay financial data, so then you could see, where are we spending our dollars? Is that actually making a difference in terms of what's the burden of disease, right? So it's a very cool tool. It's gaining a lot of popularity around CDC. I encourage you all to try it out. So that concludes my presentation. And I think now, do we all come up here? Because we're all done, right? Okay.
I'm moderating.
Yeah.